Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the first day of March, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is We Can See Clearly Now. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumriambeth. Callers will be welcome. We do ask that you be mindful of your language and also try not to walk over other people on the call. We are in the question and answer mode, which means that everybody will be muted automatically until such time as you either hit star 6 on your phone or if you're on a computer, hit the ask question button. Our website is PastorDan.net, and that's without spaces or any special characters, just plain old PastorDan.net. Got a saying here before we get started by H.L. Mencken. Another priceless saying is the summing up of politicians by American essayist and educator Mencken, who said, "A professional politician is a professionally dishonest man. In order to get anywhere near high office, he has to make so many compromises and submit to so many humiliations that he becomes indistinguishable from a streetwalker," in other words, a prostitute. I did want to read a verse. Let me find it here real quick. This is from Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26. And if there are listeners with the cell phone contact information, if you could text whether the audio is any good or not, I'd appreciate it. Anyway, Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. Whom do I have in heaven? There is no one on earth whom I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fails, but Yahweh God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In these times that we live, of course, there is a lot of fear porn going around, a lot of sources of it, both on the internet and off, of course. But the main objective of the people putting this stuff out is to create fear. One of the things I want to read to you again, since this is what they're doing to us, is the quote of Henry Kissinger that he made in a speech to his fellow Kabbalists in Evian, France, back in 1991. And the reason I want to read it, of course, is because it's very appropriate. Ever since 1991, that's when the, quote, terror and terrorism and terrorists became common vocabulary in the American's life. Up until that time, you rarely heard about it. So the New World Order has been at this in full force since the early 1990s. And we know what happened starting in 1992 with the murder of Randy Weaver's wife, Randy Weaver's son, the family dog, the wounding of his best friend Kevin Harris, and the attempt to burn Randy and his three daughters and Vicky to death. It failed only because of the grace of God, and a rainstorm had come to where it foiled the government's attempt to burn them in their cabin. And the next morning, of course, we know the morning after this all started, Vicky was shot by Lon Hurucci, a sniper working for the government, which he was rewarded for doing, by the way. And then he showed up at Waco to help with the slaughter of innocents there as well. So it goes on and on. But this is what Dr. Kissinger had to say back in 1991. Today, America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there were an outside threat from beyond, like China, whether real or promulgated, meaning a lie or a false flag, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. Again, Henry Kissinger, back in 1991. So this, again, has been going on for quite some time. They haven't changed their modus operandi very much at all. And so we're being pummeled with false flags, fear porn, innuendo, misleading statements, etc., etc. And one thing I do want to apologize, I'm still on the road, and so I'm still in a makeshift studio situation. But also, I got into a very heated discussion early this morning, and I'm still somewhat agitated. So I do apologize if it comes across in anything I say today, but it's a little bit of what we've been talking about, trying to discuss important issues with folks who don't see eye to eye, especially when it comes to things of the scripture and things of politics. And probably that's why a lot of people don't even bother to talk about it, because it gets into some very heated discussions. Because people with strong beliefs are very passionate about those beliefs, and they don't take usually very kindly to an opposing opinion. And it's very true amongst our friends and our family. So be aware of that. Again, that's why so many don't even attempt it. Even the scripture says the prophet's not accepted in his own hometown for that reason. It's saying the people that are familiar with you typically don't want to hear it from you. So in that case, typically what I do is I pray for that person, that Father would send a different messenger. The Bible calls them angels, angelos in the Greek. And it just means a messenger. We have this mental image of angels with white robes and wings and floating around on clouds. That's make-believe, because obviously messengers can take many different forms. They can be supernatural or they could be mortal men. But a messenger is a messenger. For instance, and we've talked about this on the program many, many times, you know, it tells us in Malachi 4 and in other places, but particularly Malachi 4, that before the great and terrible day of his judgment upon this earth, he will send Elijah the prophet. Now, does that mean Elijah in the person, or does that mean somebody in the spirit of Elijah? That's the question you have to ask yourself, because it's important. If you're sitting around waiting for this person to float in on a cloud who's in white robes and a long white beard and he looks like Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, you might be waiting for quite a while. The point of it is that you should be asking yourself, who was Elijah? What are the hints that we've been given? Even Malachi chapter 4 gives you a few hints of what his mission will be and what he's going to be telling you. If you're looking for the perfect man to give you this message, it's not going to happen. Okay? Perfection is not it. Even Messiah himself, the anointed one, when he walked this earth, he got angry. He may have even cursed a time or two. We don't know that. We don't know every word uttered by Messiah. We don't know every single thing he did the entire 33 years of his life. We don't know that. The point of it is he was anointed of the Father, and the words he spoke were truth to his brethren. That's what matters. So we can play church. We can do what the church world does. We can play church. We can go through the motions. We can attend. We can sit in that pew. We can wear our Sunday best, be all smiles, shake hands, pretend. But in reality, it doesn't make any difference. No, it doesn't. Church attendance has nothing to do with heaven, has nothing to do with spirituality. It's just a pretense. It's the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. See, we got a... I think we have a message here. Hold on a minute. Oh, yeah, Bubby. Praise Yahweh, indeed. He's the only one that deserves it today, especially with everything that's going on. Just unbelievable situations that I'm hearing about day in and day out in the world of the... Kabbalists, and even in amongst our own people. It's just the stress level, the consternation, the frustration that people are feeling is just huge. And sometimes it boils up and comes out in our speech and our attitudes. That's why the Father puts so much emphasis on brotherly love. In the Proverbs, where it puts down the seven things that our Father hates, number seven was those who would sow discord amongst the brethren. Why is that? Because there's enough discord on its own. We don't need people actually sowing it intentionally. Okay? We let the cares of this world often bother us and cloud our judgment and angry words spoken. That's why Proverbs makes it very clear that a prudent man, a wise man, is a few words, and he keeps his anger in check. Which I will admit, this morning, mine got the better of me. And I'm not happy about that, but it welled up. And sometimes, you know, angry words are spoken, and it's, the scripture says they're like arrows. Once you let the arrow loose from the bow, you can't bring it back. There's no string attached to it. So once those words leave your lips, they're like an arrow. They will find their target. They can inflict a wound. They can even sometimes kill. The point being, once you've let it loose, there's no turning back. That's why we were to guard our words very, very carefully and slow to anger, slow to speech. I like to call it the filter. Run everything you're about to say to somebody through a filter. Is it beneficial? Is it truthful? Is the intention honorable? Is it going to be uplifting? Is it encouraging? Does it improve a situation versus make it worse, etc.? A lot of people say, well, that's an awful lot to go through, but if you practice it over a period of time, it actually becomes almost like a subroutine in a computer. It plays in the background. You don't even really notice it. But it all starts with a conscious effort to pause between the thoughts forming in the mind and the speaking of the words. If more people would do that, we'd have much better relationships and much better working together situations in this day and age. The enemy, of course, knows this as well, and they try to exacerbate the problem with, again, the fear porn, which heightens our anxiety and stress, which causes many of our fail-safes to break down, and then that causes discord. That will cause discord amongst the brethren. And again, our Father hates that. He wants us to approach all these problems that we're facing as a team. Okay? Ever confident that we can overcome any obstacle on this earth working as a team. Line upon line, precept upon precept. The Proverbs also tell us that in the council of many, there is victory. Well, you can't have a council of many if you're constantly pissing each other off. You see how that works? So when we take on the attitude of a team player and realize it's a group effort, then it changes everything. no one of us was given every single answer. And what we're supposed to learn from all this is that we put our trust in the Father and in what He told us by the Spirit and by the Word. And then that way you can work with others and come to conclusions and a plan. Speaking of a plan, there was a very good YouTube put out within the last couple of days by Kurt Doolittle and John Mark, who went over more articles in their Propertarian Constitution. I particularly like the point that Kurt and John were talking about the Second Amendment, and one of the improvements would be that in their Constitution, not only would you be would it honor your right to be armed, but it would specifically say that your arms are to be the same arms as the military, because that's the intention of the Second Amendment. It would also not only say that you have the God-given right for these arms, but you are to use military arms, and it is required that each citizen be trained in the use of a military weapon, and that they have a military weapon in their home and ammunition for it, and the government would provide that ammunition. And people say, well, that's crazy. Well, it's built on the model that has existed forever, as far as I know, in Switzerland. I read about this back in the 1950s when I was in grade school. I did a book report on what was going on in Switzerland. I had to stand in front of the class and give a report on the Swiss and what they did as far as every man joins the army for 3 years. And when he leaves the army, he takes his weapon and ammunition home with him, and he's given a lifetime supply of ammunition so that he will practice with it and be proficient with it. So every male, and I guess there could be some females now, but every male in Switzerland is a member of the army. So he's a member of the militia at the local level and to defend the nation, the entire male population. And Switzerland has probably the lowest crime rate and murder rate of any nation on earth. So an abundance of military weapons is not the problem. Even though your Bolsheviks in this country are trying to tell you that it is, when we know for a fact that it's not. So again, Kurt and John, I was happy to see that they picked up on the Swiss model, because it makes common sense, it makes perfect sense, and it would work. But here's part of the problem. In Switzerland, it's a homogeneous population versus America, which is a diverse population. Diversity is not good. Okay? It is a form of divide and conquer, and we fell for it. So, giving non-whites the same privileges and responsibilities as far as running for office, electing, and sitting in jury boxes was insane, absolutely insane. And I would go one step further. It was completely insane in the 1920s to allow the women's suffrage movement to go through, because the Founding Fathers said that a woman's rights and protection is through the men of the family in their casting of a vote and sitting in office, etc. So the women and children are covered by that. So the wisdom of our Founding Fathers becomes more and more evident as time goes on, and we see the failures of the overthrowing of their wisdom through a period of time of the Bolshevik insurgency within this country. And we've turned a blind eye to their work at dismantling a proven system, proven that it works. Because you can see, as we've dismantled the safeguards that the Founding Fathers built into the original formation of this country, as we've abandoned those, we've gone down morally and socially. Crime has gone up, just every marker you can possibly look at. John Mark has plenty of videos covering this. So do a lot of other channels. It's out there if you care to look for it. Besides, it's just plain common sense. And take a walk down through your neighborhoods and your shopping centers, etc. It's empirical. The evidence for the truth of that statement is empirical. So again, these are very rough times, for especially those who do not have real faith in the Father. This is probably the dividing time between the lukewarm and the true believers. The lukewarm, of course, will fall for the fear porn and the manipulation of the media and the manipulation of the Bolsheviks. But those that truly love the Father in truth will not. So the test is reaching a all-time high, which means we're near the end of the test. Some people call it the end of the age or the returning of Messiah and the establishment of the kingdom on earth when he takes the throne. Well, they say the kingdom's already here in us. In some ways, that's true on an individual level, but the kingdom he wants to establish, according to Revelation and everywhere else, is an actual kingdom. There'll be an actual throne. There's an actual place that people will come to for knowledge and for wisdom and to be helped. And his administrators, that's you and me, will be within the walls of the New Jerusalem, and we will be the centers for truth and honesty and health and well-being and prosperity. Because our motives are pure, whereas the world system is not. So this particular virus that they've got everybody's attention on, some people are calling it a hoax, some people don't. Is there a virus out there? Well, yeah, it's been around for a long time, and there's a weaponized form of it out there as well. Viruses are viruses. No different than influenza or any of the others. So what precautions would you take? The same ones you take every winter when flus become more prevalent. Because why? Your best defense is your own immune system. It's always been that way. The fear porn specialists, the New World Order types, they want you to be in a phrase that you'll go down and buy the virus or the vaccine, or you allow the government to quarantine or isolate people or take people's property or lock them in their homes like they're doing in China. That's a cover. Okay. Again, they always use this, and Rahm Emanuel, the gay Jew from Chicago that was the first person that Obama brought into Washington, and he was rewarded for his staying there for a year and keeping him under wraps with being made the king of Chicago. He said it a long time ago, never let a good crisis go to waste. What he didn't say, which is typical of these Jews, what he didn't say is these crises that he's talking about are man-made. Occasionally they won't be, but most of them are man-made. And certainly this CV thing that's going around, Corona, is a perfect example. It wasn't all that long ago they tried to do it with measles. Anybody my age knows that measles is a childhood illness. It's not life-threatening as long as you don't have a weakness. It's the same thing as a bee sting. Okay, is the world in a panic over bees and getting stung by bees? Yet bee stings kill people if they're allergic to it. Okay, if you have a weakness within you, there's a lot of things that might kill you. Is it a reason to go into a worldwide scare and have all these draconian and totalitarian things done? No, obviously not. But people that are afraid will. Again, as Kissinger's quote says, if they're given this make-believe threat as if it's going to change the world we know or possibly wipe it out, even though it's literally impossible to do that, they get you afraid of it, and you will beg them, please, I want my idol called government, my new God, my new idol, government. And the other idol beside it is science, and the idol besides that is the medical field, and the idol beside that one is formal education, institutionalized education. And on it goes. The idol besides that one is sports figures and entertainers, and the idol besides that is television and movies. We got lots of idols today. We're no different than our ancestors. It says the hills were filled with their idols. Well, take a look around. It's what's going on today. We have plenty of idols. So again, is there such a thing as a coronavirus? Well, yeah. Again, it's been around, different forms of it, whatever. It's just a virus. Is it something to worry about? No. Not unless you are in a situation where your immune system is, like, shot. But then again, you're susceptible to bacteria, fungus, mold, viruses. You're susceptible to a lot of problems if your immune system's shot. So again, the solution is always the same, faith in the Father and obeying the Father's law, which, what did he say? Your body is a temple. Treat it as a temple. Okay, do you take unclean things into your temple? No. Would you put poisons in your temple? No. Would you desecrate your temple? No. Well, right there's your answer. It's pretty simple. It's just hard to do because the world wants you to believe that you can do whatever you want with your body. How many of these women say, it's my body, I can kill the baby if I want to? Commit murder because it's my body. Totally oblivious to the fact that that's an individual within the body waiting to come forth. It's completely oblivious to that. Oblivious to Yahweh's law that says murder is a capital offense. Murder means shedding innocent blood. Is there anybody walking this earth that doesn't know a baby is innocent? How could the baby be guilty of anything? Okay, it's murder. It's plain and simple. When your government lies to you and sends your sons and daughters into wars for corporate profit, that's murder. When your government lies to you about the reports coming out of the CDC and what vaccines will do, and you lose your child or you lose a loved one due to what they put in your body, that's murder. They know better than that. They're not telling you the whole truth. They're not giving you all the facts and figures. They're allowing you to believe a lie. That's murder. When they take somebody into custody who's innocent, they've not been proven guilty, and they're in jail for a year, 2, 3 years, waiting for trial, waiting for this and that. First of all, what happened to speedy trial? Second of all, that's a sentence. They've ruined your life potentially with that, and you haven't even been to trial yet. Okay? And if something happens to you while you're in there, you get an illness and die, or you have a heart attack, or you're jumped by a bunch of gang members and they kill you, that's murder. That's murder. You had not committed a crime, and yet they took you into custody. Custody means what? It means they're responsible. When's the last time you saw a judge, a prosecutor, a warden, a corrections officer, a policeman put on trial for murder because the people in custody, in their custody, were harmed? When were they last held accountable that you can tell? I don't recall ever in my lifetime. So our decisions and what we allow have consequences, folks. We're supposed to hold these people accountable, and we're not. Instead, we're treating them like they're gods. Everything they put on paper, we have to obey. Everything that they utter out of their mouth, we must obey. Well, that's a god. You've made them a god. Shame on us. Shame on us. And we've allowed the fear of death to be the driving force behind it. The fear that they will harm us. The fear that they will take from us. The fear that they will ultimately take our life. Those fears drive us into allowing tyranny. There's a good quote I often talk about here on the program, that fear of resistance is what empowers the despot and the tyrant. Nothing else. The fear of resistance. Now you know why the enemy, especially these Zionist Bolsheviks, when they go in, one of the very first things they do is work their way into, quote, government positions, leadership in industry, and the takeover of the money system. That's where they focus their attention. Because once you take, you get everybody thinking corporately, meaning the pyramid, with a few at the top governing all the rest, once they get you to believe that lie, now all they have to do is control the very top of the pyramid and they've got total control. Which is exactly the opposite of what our father wanted, which is the top doesn't have a hell of a lot of control. Most of your government is at the local level, where it should be, starting with you, yourself, and your home. That's where your control starts. And then it's groups of families, like 10. That's where the word chieftain comes from, Old English, meaning the head of 10 families. And then 5 of those get together, so now you've got a chief over 50 families with 5 lieutenants under them. You see how that works? And then it goes to 100, then it goes to 1,000, then it goes to 10,000. So you have these layers as like a firewall. If there's contention amongst the 10 families, the chieftain steps in. If he can't handle it, he goes to the captain of 50. And if he can't handle it, he passes it up to the captain of 100. And you go up the chain until you get to somebody who can resolve the problem. But that's only rare. 99% of your issues can be handled either in your own home or within the 10 to 50 families. You can figure it out. Look in your own neighborhoods. How many issues do you have with your neighbors that you can't solve yourself? If you didn't have government telling you, you don't have a right to do anything. You got to call the cops. You got to call the mayor's office. You got to call an inspector. You got to call this agency or this bureaucrat. When you could handle it yourself. And most of the time, they're incompetent anyway. If they do show up or if they do have an interest, many times they're completely incompetent or corrupt. So, again, we've made idols, and now we suffer because of it. We were never to create idols and worship idols. So, again, with the hoax, the best news I got is the fact that everything that I'm reading on it tells me it's a manufactured thing, and they're pushing it. It's hype. It's already starting to fall apart. There are so many researchers out there digging into it and figuring it out. And plus, even if you just look at the numbers, the ones they give you, if you take the time, most people don't, but if you take the time to look at the numbers, a regular flu harms more people than this thing's supposed to have done. But they don't broadcast it on the evening news every day. So most people, it's completely out of their heads. The good news is that there are a number of people waking up and starting to question things, but it's still a minority of the people. They're still counting on the majority of being useless eaters and completely taken in by the propaganda and the fear porn. That's why Father said, my flock's a tiny flock. That's why he also said, will I find faith when I come upon the earth? He meant real faith, not just that he exists, but the faith that says that he's number one in their lives. How many people make him number one in their lives? How many people devote attention in prayer or otherwise, even in meditation on the Father? How many people spend even a hundredth of the time with Father that they spend with their other gods? Television, movies, entertainment, sports, news broadcasts. The list goes on and on and on. How does the Father work against that? How does the Holy Spirit fight against that? It's not easy. That's why he said you got to go into that quiet place. Okay, I'm just looking here. You go into that quiet place because that's where the Holy Spirit's voice can be heard, in your prayer closet. It's pretty hard to drown out the major media coming across your flat screens, whether it's your phone, your tablets, your computers, your 80-inch television in your living room, your idol up on the wall. It's pretty hard to overcome all that when you don't spend hardly time, any time, in quiet time with Father. That's the beautiful part of this. You know, we got people arguing about which version of the Bible, and are the scriptures the real scriptures? Did the Masoretes, which were a Jewish sect, did they contaminate all of the scriptures that we have today? It goes on and on. Endless debate. Well, who benefits? Qui bono? Who benefits from this disagreement and this infighting over that? The enemy does. When the truth of the matter is, you're all walking around with direct communications with the Father on a daily basis. You may not be taking advantage of it, but the fact that you have it is still there. So even if you don't pick up that book, you haven't read a word in it, when you come to know the Father, and you ask him into your life and to guide it, do you think he's going to walk away from you? Do you think he's going to abandon you because you haven't read the book? Which, by the way, the book has changed quite a bit over the years. It no longer has the books of the Apocrypha in it, which the early church fathers included as scripture. There are other writings such as the book of Jasher, and the books of Enoch, etc., they're not part of Scripture according to the Catholic Church. But there's a lot of wisdom in them. So do you see my point? Simply because in modern times you haven't read the book, because the books didn't exist 400 years ago, did they? No, they didn't. The average person didn't have access to any of this written material 400 years ago. So did the Father abandon our ancestors before these books showed up? No, of course not. It's a matter of the heart, folks. When you come to realize who he is your Heavenly Father, your Creator, who put you here, who gave you life. That's the great gift of the Father to us, is our lives. Our gift back to him is what we do with that life. It's as simple as that. It's not wrapped up in a bunch of rituals or even memorizing some scripture or all this other stuff that we have so much anguish over. It's just a simple matter of coming to recognize him as your Creator Father. And knowing that you are not perfect without him, that you walk in ignorance without the comforting and the knowledge that's passed on to you by the Holy Spirit. And I know there's some people out there listening who go, what the hell is he talking about? But I would question your personal walk with our Father, if that's the case. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you really need to do some deep soul searching as to your own walk on this earth through this testing time. Okay? It is a test. There is a hereafter where we will be used for whatever his purposes are. But he only wants those that are worthy, which is his right. He established everything we see around us, including you and your life and your family and the things around us. He established all that. He has a right to do that. Some people say, well, that sounds crazy. Really? What's so crazy about it? If I create something, don't I have a right to do with it as I see fit? If I create a a new type of wagon, or if I build a house, don't I have a right to decorate it the way I want? Or even the right to burn it to the ground if I want? I created it. Even the scripture talks about the fact he created us. And we are not to, as it says, can the pot argue with or have contention with the potter, meaning the lump of clay on the potter's wheel as he forms it into a vessel? Do you have a right to argue with the shape of the vessel, the color of the vessel, the design in the vessel? You have nothing to say about that. All you have to do is acknowledge that you are a clay pot that he created, and he wants to pour in what? The Holy Spirit, liquid in the vessel. Fill it up so that it takes over and helps you war with the flesh. Because a lot of times the flesh will want you to get involved in things that you shouldn't. But he does not abandon us. We abandon him many times, but he does not abandon us. Now, the word does tell us again, the Spirit testifies to the truth, but you have to have the Spirit. A lot of people read that and they just assume it means that somehow, some way, they're going to figure out lies from truth on their own. That's difficult, especially today with so many different avenues of gathering information, not necessarily truth, but information. There is an abundance of information. How much of it is true? So the Spirit, the separated Spirit or Holy Spirit of the Father within you, gives you a leg up on most other people. We are told that his flock is a tiny flock, and as you look at the world around you, the people that know this message, know him, and actually obey him, well, that's pretty much a tiny flock, isn't it? And take a look around you. The flock typically doesn't suffer the same things that the rest of the world are suffering. Not usually. At least not in my case of the people I've known. Most of the people that have claimed to be of the Father who did suffer was due to their disobedience. Okay, I personally am thinking of a dear friend of mine from the Ozarks that I'd known for many, many years. And I lost her as a dear friend to cancer over a year ago. But she smoked rather profusely, actually. She had, OCPD, I think. And even with that and being on oxygen, she'd still smoke. Now, it doesn't change her heart and her spirit, which were phenomenal. It doesn't change the many, many truths in our long conversations. It doesn't change any of that. But it does explain the cancer that took her out. Okay, that's my whole point. Father does not abandon us. His word does not abandon us. His truths do not abandon us. If there's a weak link at any point, it is usually us. It's usually us failing to do what he's told us to do. So, just a word of caution to folks out there. Again, you know, there's a lot of sources of info. Run it through your filters, common sense, scripture, empirical evidence, your heart, your gut. Many times I tell people, you know, what's your gut tell you when you're hearing something or you're seeing something going on? What at the gut level, what are you talking about? What do you feel? Do you think it's a real concern? Do you think it's something to get upset about? Or should you just ignore it and pay attention to the things that are going on? The lines are open if somebody wants to call in with either a comment, question, whatever. But I just wanted to jump on today. Again, we're making very good progress with the family emergency that I'm out of town with. Praise Yahweh for that. There's been some actual miracles that have occurred. There were still some bumps in the road. Praise Yahweh, we've hurdled those. There's still a few more to go. So I'll be out of town for a spell yet. But we are seeing light at the end of the tunnel, and there's been some really good things going on. And I do appreciate everybody's patience with the makeshift studio and kind of out of my element patterns, etc. here lately. It has its ups and downs when you're away from your home setting and you're in the midst of a confrontational situation with loved ones. It puts an additional burden on you. I do appreciate all the prayers, though. There's a lot of prayer warriors out there and people that send me encouragement either by text or email or phone calls. And, you know, again, that's how family works together. So that is more proof of the truth of Father's saying. And part of why I believe we're going through the trials and tribulations of this time is to teach us to learn, to teach us how to be family again, okay? Aryan family, okay? Christ was an Aryan, okay? Our ancestors were Aryans. So the world wants you to believe otherwise, but it's part of the lie. It's part of the lie. You just have to deal with it. But the Aryan Christ or the Aryan anointed one did not violate his law, did not tell us to go out and race mix, did not tell us to go out and be tolerant of the degenerates and the perverts out there, did not tell us to obey government just because they're government. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. The, quote, authorities, by the way, doesn't necessarily have to be government people, but the authorities that we are to give homage to are godly authorities, whether it's in the form of a prophet, an elder, a judge, in the sense of an ancient Israelite judge, congregational leaders, elders within the community, elders within the family, okay? You could have lots of authorities over you. But each and every one of them that you are to give obedience to or your attention to should be scripturally accurate, righteous. Again, I like the quote of Trajan, who was a Roman emperor, when he told his legions, take this sword and use it against my enemy if I issue righteous commands. If I issue righteous commands. Now, this is the emperor of Rome. Most powerful kingdom other than Parthia and at one time Egypt in the ancient world and Media and Persia at different times. But Rome was certainly one of the biggest. And here's the emperor telling his legionaries, only if I issue righteous commands. He didn't say just go out there and do it because I said so. Yet you got people in Washington, D.C. that have that mindset. You've got people in your state capital that have that mindset. You got people at the county level now with that mindset. Just because they say it or they write it down on a piece of paper, you must obey. Really? And here's the emperor of Rome telling the men at arms, only if I issue righteous judgments. And then the quote further says, if I issue unrighteous commands, use these weapons against me. Again, these are the words of an emperor, okay? A monarch. Everybody is down on monarchy because there could be a bad monarch. Yet Christ is going to be a monarch. Trajan was a monarch. Alfred the Great of England was a monarch. King Richard was a monarch. Napoleon was a monarch. Alexander the Great was a monarch. Okay. The rulers over Parthia, probably the only kingdom I know that defeated Rome in two major wars, the Parthian kingdom was established according to Old Testament law, and it was governed by a singular monarch, a biblical, righteous monarch. And the archaeologist and writer Stephen Collins, in his book about Parthia, talks about the fact that, yeah, occasionally there was an unrighteous person who was elevated to the position of king. And it also talks about the fact that the people deposed him and elected, again, elected a new king. And there's even a story in there that one of the unrighteous kings was deposed and his brother. And that most of the kings came through the Arsacid bloodline, which is a bloodline of David. And the brother of this unrighteous king came to power, and his first order was to hunt down his brother, the unrighteous king, and execute him, which they did. So you see, there is a check and a balance here. At no time does our Father expect us to live under dictatorship or unrighteous leaders at any level. That's when the righteous indignation of the men should rise up, and just as Trajan told his legionaries, that they use those weapons against the unrighteous at any level. Nothing in the word of our Father says that we should obey unrighteous people, ever. Even the Apostle Peter said that if it's a choice between obeying men and Yahweh God, you must choose. He didn't say it's recommended. He didn't say, well, you probably should. He said, must obey the Father. All right, well, I'm going to end this one kind of short. There's things to do, and I know you folks are busy too. I do want everybody to be encouraged, though, that many folks are waking up. Many more folks are coming to a knowledge of who they are as Israelites of old. The white Anglo-Saxon race are the Israelites of old. That we have been, usurpers have come in and claimed that they are the chosen of our Father, when we know that's not true. They are of the synagogue of Satan, and that they are the root of the tree of evil. Henry David Thoreau said, for every 1,000 swinging at the branches of the tree of evil, there is only one swinging at the root. For 1,000 different denominations of so-called Christians, there's only one denomination. There's only one group of believers swinging at the root, and that's the identity people. The ones that really know who's who in the zoo, trying to chop down this wicked, evil, worldwide tree that has a root that goes right into Bolshevism, Zionism, Judaism, the Talmud, and their ill-gotten fiat currency system, the root of the tree of evil. I think we should all pray for Obadiah verse 18 and Malachi chapter 4 to come to pass in the very near future. And in the meantime, let's work together as a team, as a family. Oh, wait a minute. I think I got somebody here calling in. Area code 816, you're on the line.
This is Vince. I spoke to you about 3 weeks ago on a Sunday. I just wanted to say I'm glad you're making progress with your family problem.
Well, thanks. Yep. It's, like I said, it was difficult the first 2-3 days, very difficult, but things have settled down and looks like we're making progress.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Good, thanks. How's everything with you?
Oh, pretty good. This life in 21st century America
leaves a lot to be desired, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does actually. But I don't have that much to complain about, really, though. All things considered.
So yeah,
things been going along pretty smooth anyway. So, I just wanted to call up and say that I'm glad I've been including you and your family in my prayers, and I'll continue to do so.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. And anyway, have a good day, Pastor Dan, and God bless.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yahweh bless.
Bye.
All right, excellent, excellent. Well, again, you know, everybody has their own burdens to bear and difficulties and hurdles, I call them, the little bumps in the road or the hurdles. The good news is he's offered his help. He didn't say he'd take the burdens away, necessarily, but he did say he'd help us to get over them. And the things I've learned over my years, anyway, that pretty much everything that happens is for a reason, and there is something to be learned in almost everything that happens. Even though I admit there are a lot of times that it's very difficult to see the logic, very difficult to understand why some of the things happen to us. But in time, you're generally revealed as to why that may have happened, okay? What caused it and what you could learn from it. Because trust me, folks, we can learn from almost anything that happens to us, good or bad. So, Gary, you're on the program, buddy. Are you there, Gary? Hello? Okay, Gary. Okay, maybe you didn't have a question. All right, well, for some reason, I don't know if you were muted at your end or whatever, Gary. I didn't hear a single thing, so we'll get you next time. Hopefully, let's see, what is this, Sunday? Should be a program Wednesday night. If something comes up that's important enough, we'll schedule one even sooner. But certainly by Wednesday night, we should be back up on the air. So if it can wait till then, Gary, just call back in when I can hear you. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters all over this earth. We know these times are difficult. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of information out there. Not a lot of it is truth, but there is a lot of information. We ask that the Holy Spirit would visit each and every believer that's out there and comfort them, first of all. Let them know that you're our Father, our Creator, that your love for us never wanes, and that you are with us as we go through these trials and tribulations, and that it's for a meaningful purpose, and in the end, you are the one who will be victorious, and we as your sons and daughters will be there with you. And that there is a kingdom coming. There is a new heaven and a new earth, and the wicked will, as Malachi tells us in chapter 4, the wicked will be taken down. The book of Revelation tells us and gives us little hints. We can see those hints coming to pass, and we should know, too, Father, not to trust the arm of flesh, which would be government bodies and man-made institutions. Most of them are corrupt and lying, and they are up to nefarious agendas. So be with us as the little flock that loves you. Give us the strength and courage to do your will upon this earth as it is in heaven. Walk with us and talk with us. Forgive us our stumblings and our shortcomings. Help us to grow from them and to learn. And always, Father, protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.